Time to bring a guest on who's going to be in Liverpool in a couple of weeks' time. Someone that we all know and we all watched on TV from 1981 to 2003. And if you're just struggling and thinking, who could that be? Let me just play this for you.
Stick a pony in me pocket. I'll fetch the suitcase from the van. Cause if you want the best things but you don't ask questions, then brother, I'm your man. Cause we're in a car.
We all know who it is, don't we? Yeah, only fools and horses. I'm glad to say, joining us on the line is someone who was in the series and played a pivotal role as Boycey. Someone we all loved and hated, I think, to be fair at times. I'm sorry to say that. We've got actor John Challis joining us. John, thank you for joining us on Radio City Talk. And as I say there, we all loved you, but at times you were a pain in the backside to poor old Del Boy.
Oh, yeah, I suppose I was. I hope there's not too much hate out there.
No, not of course. But anyway, you're joining us today because you're going to be in Liverpool very shortly. In fact, from the 8th of March to the 10th of March, the return of the Liverpool Comic Con. Are you looking forward to being in this great city?
Yes, I am. I love Liverpool. My first ever job was at Children's Theatre back in the 60s that was based in Birkenhead.
In Birkenhead.
You know,
I'm looking
which
at...
Which you might have heard of, you know.
Well, funny enough, from the top of the Radio City Tower, we're 450 feet above Liverpool, and when you come to Liverpool, you can see the tower from wherever you are. I am looking... Yeah. The viewpoint I have got at the moment, I'm talking to you, and I'm looking out, and I can see the River Mersey, and I can actually see New Brighton, but if I move to my left, I can see Birkenhead. So we're okay there.
Well, I'd never been up that part of the world before. I didn't know where I was going when I got on the train, really. But of course, I saw a bit of Liverpool after that, and of course, a very exciting time, you know, in the 60s, the Beatles and everything. And so I've always remembered that, you know. And I worked there a couple of three times over the years, and it's a great place. I've been up several times doing my show and. Couple of appearances up there and always felt very welcome, I must say. We've always had a great time in Liverpool, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, us Scousers do like looking after people, so don't worry about that. And we're looking forward to you being here for three days for Comic-Con. It's quite an impressive lineup you're part of there. We've got Superman. We've got... Who else have we got? We've got Superman. We've got Superman's assistant, Terry Hatcher, of course, from a great American TV series that was on a few years ago. We've got Burt Young, who was in Rocky. The cast goes on. And, of course, we've got your good self, who is there, who we have all watched over the years. And I'm lucky enough to say I'm of an age where I grew up watching Only Fools and Horses. And in my humble opinion, the best British sitcom there has ever been and probably will ever be.
Oh, that's very kind. Thank you. Yeah, well, it was great to have been part of it, you know. We're very lucky. When I first started back in 1981, the first series started, and I remember reading that first script, Go West, Young Man, it was called, and that's for Boycey's first appearance. And I just thought it was really funny, and I loved it. And so I was delighted to be asked to do this little part. You know, I had no idea it was going any further, though, after that. And it's amazing all these years later, and it's still on. You know, it's still on every day somewhere, and people are still talking about it. They still love it. And when I do my one-man show all over the place, they all come out in their hundreds and a queue up and just shake their hand, have a picture taken, you know. It's terrific. Absolutely, it's wonderful.
And I think we've all got a Boycey impression inside us, haven't we? I mean, if I was to do it now, and this is terrible, if I go, Marlene, it's probably not as good as you've heard and not as good as the original, but everyone knows Boycey. Everyone knows Del Boy. Everyone knows Rodney.
I know. It's changed all our lives, really. As I say, we were unaware of it at the beginning. It wasn't until about, I suppose, the mid-80s and people started coming up to us in the street saying how much they're enjoying it, that we realised that we were on something special, you know. But it's just great. As I say, everybody went off in different directions after it finished, you know, but it sort of put your stock a lot higher because you were associated with it, you know. Which is wonderful.
And what a great writer in John Sullivan.
Well, we were very lucky, really, to have him as the writer. You know, and mind you, he always said he was lucky to have the actors he had. So I mean, I think it was a two-way thing. You know, it's chicken and egg, isn't it, really? But he always felt that the actors had developed the characters so much that they were easy to write for. And, of course, we were... we were just desperately grateful that we had some wonderful words and funny situations to play, you know, and it just made everything really easy, you know. But I suppose it was just a lucky bit of chemistry that sometimes happens, you know, and the old cliche, if you could... you could take that and bottle it, we'd all be millionaires at the end of the year.
So very true. And of course, that was the great thing about it, wasn't it? It was everyone loved Del Boy, everyone loved Rodney, because you just wanted to see them succeed.
Yeah.
And then when they did, the story was great to see how things developed and how they kind of went back to the flat and everything turned around. I mean, how good was it just being involved in such a popular show?
It was just, well, as I say, it was just great, you know. And you every script that arrived through your door, you know, you sort of grabbed and read as soon as you got it, you know. And you couldn't wait to see what happened. And then the next thing was waiting to start the particular episode or the series or the special we were doing, because you could just hear all the characters saying the lines that you were reading, so you couldn't wait to get to the actual read-through, you know, which were hilarious, because as soon as, you know, Del Boy said his lines, or Rodney said his, or Trigger said his, and so on, you know, everyone would just laugh, because the timing was so good, and instinctively you knew how John Sullivan wanted the line said, and sometimes the read-throughs would go on for a very long time because nobody could stop laughing, you know. It was brilliant. So, but then the difficult bit starts, and you've got to relate that to an audience, you know, and technically work things out. And it sort of, then it loses a bit of its natural humour, because technically it's quite difficult to do in a television studio, you know. So it's quite a process.
Yeah, and all of you were such wonderful characters, and everyone loved you. And, of course, everyone went on to have great success after Only Fools and Horses. David Jason, of course, yourself, had a spin-off series from it. And funnily enough, I was only watching, I think it might have been last Sunday or the Sunday before, flicking through the channels, The Green, Green Grass of Home came on. And,
yes,
and
yes.
Boise, the Status Quo fan.
Yes, that's right, yes. No, you're good, Ludwig, but you ain't the Quo, I remember it saying. No, that's right. And then Status Quo doing a concert out in the on the fields at Winterdown Farm. It was amazing. It was amazing to get a spin-off series, you know. I mean, me and Sue Holderness, who played Marlene, we were absolutely amazed that we were asked, you know, but also very flattered that they thought the characters were strong enough, you know, to hold their own series. But equally, we were terrified at having to follow Only Fools and Horses, because, I mean, how do you follow that, you know, which meant so much to people. And of course, doing a spin-off series didn't have a great track record, particularly in this country. A lot of them have been tried for very popular series, but very few of them had succeeded. So there was always that sort of worry that people wouldn't accept it. But we got four or five years out of it, and it was great fun, really, really great fun. And I think a lot of people have caught up with The Green, Green Grass since it came off, you know, because it's repeated again. And a lot of people are coming up to me these days saying, I didn't see it the first time, you know, I didn't really want to see it after Only Fools, but I mean, it's really good, wasn't it, you know. And so I think actually it's probably got more of an audience than it had... originally, which is an extraordinary thought, really.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously on the back of Only Fools and Horses and The Green, Green Grass, you get out, and as you've just mentioned, you do your one-man shows. How are they going? Are you still out there seeing the audiences across the country?
Because I've written a few books. I've written the autobiography, and I've written a couple of novels about sort of life in Shropshire, Herefordshire, where we live, and also a book about the house that I live in and the garden we've created down here in Herefordshire. And so self-publishing, you know, so we've got a publishing company. So when I go out through the show, I take the books with me, and anybody who wants one signed, you know, of course I'll sign it. So I'm a bit of a salesman as well at the same time, you see. So I come out after the show and say hello to the audience and have a chat, you know, and have my picture taken and so on. So it's a really nice experience meeting the people who've, you know, turned their tellies on and put us where we are, really.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you sound a little bit like Boise there. You don't sell any dodgy second-hand cars as well, do you, when you're on the road?
Oh, no, I know nothing about cars. I know how to drive them, and I couldn't change a wheel, I suppose, and And put oil in and and water and all that sort of thing. But no, as soon as something goes wrong, I've had a lot of cars in my time, you know, and a lot of them have been extremely dodgy, I have to say. But I haven't been selling them. But the early ones, I suppose it's the same with everybody. You buy some dodgy old thing because you wanted to drive, you know, and halfway up the motorway they'd blow up, you know, and you'd finish. In some nameless garage somewhere halfway up the M1 and waiting for it to be mended. So I went through a lot of that. But no, I have no interest in cars really at all. No, except like to look at. I love cars to look at and cars to drive. So it hasn't been part of my life really, secondhand cars. But I'm selling me books.
the books are available, of course. Here's the next question then. When are you going to be in the Northwest, other than Comic Con, which you're in Liverpool for? Are you going to be doing any one-man shows up this neck of the woods there where we could come and see you live?
Put you on the spot there. I've got a tour, the start of a tour coming up, not till September though. But there's a lot of dates. I haven't got them actually at my fingertips. But there's a website.
What's the website address, John?
The website address is Wigmore Books, Wigmore Books, all one word, all lowercase, obviously, .com. That's it. And that'll give you sort of links to the listings of where the shows are going. We go all over the place, and I've done a few shows, just a couple of shows in Manchester, you know, and all that. And I don't know if I can't remember offhand if there are any up there. But as I say, from September onwards, I'll be dashing about all over the place, and I'll need all the help and support I can get.
And I'm sure everyone will give you that help and support. But let's go back to when you're in this great city, and this is we don't like that word Manchester here in Liverpool. We're very proud of this city. But you're here for 3 days. 3 days. Yeah. The 8th, 9th, and 10th.
Do you think it's too long, Graham? Do you think it's too long? Do you think I'll last that long?
I think you will want to stay longer, to be fair, John. I think you'll enjoy the hospitality. You'll enjoy all the Scousers coming to see you. And you'll think to yourself, do you know what? I'm going to have an extra couple of days. We're all looking forward to seeing you. How are you looking forward to coming and actually seeing all the punters? Because Comic Cons are a new kind of thing that have kind of come to these shores over the last few years. There was one here last year, of course, and this is the second year it's come back to Liverpool. So it's a new thing within the city of Liverpool, something I'm looking forward to going to see, and obviously you're looking forward to seeing all the punters.
Oh, yes, I am. I mean, it's great to meet everybody. But also, Comic-Con's a great fun because everybody dresses up, you see, just like all us actors always have done. And you can see the most wonderful costumes and all your sort of comic book heroes, you know. And I've got a bit of a tenuous connection with sci-fi, really, in that I was in a Doctor Who 100 years ago with Tom Baker called The Seeds of Doom. And so that's my connection with that. So there's a whole lot of Doctor Who-y people there, you know, and so on. And you see the most wonderful sights. You can see someone dressed up as Predator and someone dressed up as Alien. And there they are sort of arguing about where to park the car, which is great fun. You think, I always thought, though, if you're Predator or Alien, you can park anywhere you like. Nobody's going to stop you.
Not with a traffic warden. Not with the traffic wardens around you, they'll have you. It's terrible.
But it's so entertaining, you know, seeing all these great characters. And, of course, there's Doctor Who and the Daleks and all sorts of sort of... I spend a lot of the time looking at these fantastic costumes going past and trying to find out which show they're in, because I don't really watch that sort of thing anymore, you know. But the kids are all swarming around them and having their pictures taken. It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And, of course, they come up in these... Darth Vader came up the other day and asked for my autographs. I must be doing all right.
I was going to say, you've finally made it when Darth Vader wants Boyce's autograph.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
But no, we're looking forward to seeing you when you come up to Comic-Con. It's the 8th, 9th and 10th of March. And, of course, if you check out the website for Liverpool Comic-Con, all the details are there with regards to ticket prices and how you can get in and how under fives are free. And there's all different price structures there. So check out the website. And, of course, yeah. You can go and see a number of very famous people who will be in the city. And before we bring our chat to a close, John, I'm going to ask you, and this is probably a very difficult question, what was your favourite scene that you were involved with in Only Fools and Horses? Is the one? Or...
Oh, gosh, it's very difficult. It's so many. I think I love the Batman and Robin sequence in Heroes and Villains, I think it was called.
Yes,
one
it was.
Of the specials, you know, and that whole sequence of them going to what they thought was a fancy dress party, you know, and... becoming accidental heroes and stopping the mugging, you know, and then Boyce sort of showing them in, and they thought he was dressed up as the Penguin, and he said, "No, Del Boy, not the Penguin, more like the Joker." You see, and then he shows them into what has become a wake, you know, because he hasn't told them that the man who's holding the party had passed away that morning. So what was a fancy dress party is now a wake. So they burst in as Batman and Robin going, but you know, and there's all these people in dark suits looking very somber and morose, you know. It's just hilarious.
That was a very good scene. I mean, there were so many great scenes, weren't there, in that great TV series?
The blow up dolls, for instance. I mean, that
from behind the bar.
Yeah, I mean that was just hilarious, all that, and then Boyce and Marlene, you're trying to have a baby, and then Del Boy decides, so he finds an au pair, doesn't he, who has had a baby, doesn't want it. So perfect Del Boy logic. He says, "Well, I'll take this baby that this girl doesn't want, and I'll give it to Boyce and Marlene, who haven't got one." You know, so, I mean, it's sort of sweet and moving, isn't it, and very funny at the same time.
Well, so many
things you could mention there, I think.
It's been great talking with you, John, and I'm going to let everyone know that you are actually here in the Northwest, in the local area. You're going to be at the Gladstone Theatre in Port Sunlight, over on the Wirral, not too far away from Birkenhead, on Wednesday, the 2nd of October. And if you'd like tickets, you can give the box office a call on 0151 643 8757. Gladstone Theatre, Wednesday, the 2nd of October, where you'll be locally performing your one-man show.
Brilliant. And I'll be at the Exhibition Centre in not long.
Yeah,
not long now, eh?
From the 8th, 9th and 10th.
Brilliant.
Thank you very much, Graham. Can I ask you one thing? Can we have a Marlene before you leave us?
You can have a Marlene, and you can take it home with you, because I don't need it anymore.
John Challis. John Challis, thank you for joining us, and we'll speak to you very soon.